It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Landon Schmidt producing. We're with you for the next 3 hours and a lot to get into this afternoon as we've got to talk the NBA as the playoffs continue to roll along. Three really interesting games last night. Three more games tonight. We had a series come to an end last night as well, so we'll talk a lot about what happened last night. We'll preview what is to come later tonight. We'll talk Major League Baseball. We've got a lot of day action this afternoon on a Wednesday. We'll talk some golf. Obviously, all the news that came out yesterday towards the end of our show of NCAA tournament expansion, maybe what could be coming to the NBA in terms of the new lottery system. So a lot to get into today. Also, Memphis basketball adds another recruit out of the transfer portal. This one, a local product in Josh Holloway. So a ton to discuss this afternoon. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Good. I'm doing good.
Good. How much should the whole incident with Ja Morant affect Josh Holloway?
In what sense do you mean?
Acceptance. He's ours. Pulling far. What?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that really comes down to who you ask. I mean, I think right now...
You're diehard Tiger and Grizzlies fan, but you know that incident, it did set off a series of not flattering things around Ja and the team, all of which may not have been Ja's fault. I just wonder, I mean, would it be any... catcalling from the stands directed toward him, anything that negative or should, I don't think it should be.
No.
I don't know if we should all hit the amnesia button, but I think we should hit the fresh start button.
Sure. I mean, look, we don't know, you know, exactly what happened. You know, we've heard both sides of the story. Ja Morant says, you know, he was provoked and whatever. Josh Holloway says he was just, you know, playing basketball and Ja approached him and whatever happened. You know, there's two sides of the story. Obviously, it got dismissed in court, but I don't think any of that should affect Josh Holloway or how he's perceived or treated as a Memphis Tiger, and it doesn't seem like many people are using that right now. Now, that can certainly change when he's in a uniform and is out on the court, but I don't think that should affect. I think the only reason that should be brought up is for people to kind of remember who he is or kind of, hey, you know, this is that guy. It's just kind of a note to throw in there, but I don't think that should have any effect on how people view him or approach him over the next year.
I hope the young guy gets a good fresh start here and produces for his hometown team for Penny and the Tigers. And you had the key words there: dismissed by the courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
dismissed by the courts.
Mm-hmm.
That has to matter, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it was a big story when it happened. You know, I think a lot of people have kind of forgotten about that story. You know, I think when Josh Holloway started being recruited, it was kind of like
a lot of people. Oh yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah,
oh yeah, hey,
yeah,
that's him.
Yeah. Well, and really, just the story.
That's him. That's been the reaction.
Sure,
today.
But I mean, for me, like, and I can say this from my point of view. I forgot that even happened. It wasn't even just, hey, oh, this is Josh Holloway, the guy that it happened with. I forgot that story even took place. And so, you know, obviously people are bringing that up to kind of remind each other that you know, this guy is a local guy. He was involved in that. It was a big story when it happened. But, you know, I hope it doesn't affect anybody, or Josh Holloway or Ja Morant in the future. You know, just let that be in the past. And, you know, obviously, you know, there are a lot of people that are ready for the Grizzlies to move on from Ja Morant. So, you know, maybe they'll be even more in favor of Josh Holloway coming here.
There's
and be
that.
Be on that side. So, you know, it's just one of those stories, but, you know, hopefully, you know, we're just talking about what he is on the basketball court and not what happened in the past.
And we hope it's good for the Tigers. All right, I want I'm open-minded here. I'm going to give you my reservation, and then you tell me why it shouldn't be major.
Okay.
I think I like what Penny is putting together.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you don't know. Do you get out there? You don't know. Do you get out there in late November and late January and tournament time? You don't know now because it's just such a jigsaw puzzle. Here's my reservation. As the college basketball is going big, bigger players, this looks like little bitty guards to me. Allay my fears.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this level, you know, when you look at the conference, especially, there are a lot of, you know, kind of smaller teams, smaller players, and it's a very incomplete team. You know, we still don't know what the front court will look like in terms of the bigs. I think with, you know, Jaden Reed, who they added on Monday, that's a guy that, you know, 5'10", but I think uses his body extremely well, you know, knows his size. I talked about this on Monday after he committed. A lot of times you see guys who are small and they try to play bigger than their actual size, and that can be a positive in some cases, that can be a negative in some cases. I feel like Jaden Reed really uses his size to his advantage of kind of, I know I'm small, I'm only going to do what I know I can do, and he's kind of tailored his game around that, which I think helps him. You know, was a guy that was, you know, decently successful on a, you know, a bad team, you know, we've got to say that, but, you know, did some nice things at Northwestern last year in one of the toughest conferences in all of college basketball. And then obviously today with Josh Holloway, another small guard, but, you know,
for a tough coach, he played for a tough-minded coach.
No, he definitely did. And so I think both these guys are going to be able to play their role well in this conference, in the American. And so, you know, I don't think the size should be too big of a factor. I think they're going to add a lot of really you know, nice sizes around them to kind of you know, help that case. But I don't think it should be too much of a worry right now.
Brian, you do. You know the rosters out there in this mad world that we're in college sports, college basketball. You do know the ever-changing roster so much better than I do, and I depend on you for that. All right, I'm going to start with a high hard one. Both of you guys, all of us weigh in. Of the three big changes coming, the big change to the NBA and the tanking rules, which you know what I wanted for tanking. You know what I wanted for the draft.
What's that?
The most simple thing ever. Last goes first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be better than what they're doing.
We go back to how we did it forever, and we don't need ping pong ball night. I know we've had ping pong ball night now seemingly forever, and no, nothing was frozen, and there was no chicanery with Patrick Ewing. Boo, for right along. I'm tired of conspiracy. I really am. I'm really tired of conspiracy guy. In a lot of things. Next thing for the draft is just if you want to go out there and win eight games and do that to your town and to your fans, guess what? You're going to get the number one pick. Hope that makes you feel better. All right, the three big issues: what's being done to try to prevent tanking in the NBA, 24-team college football playoff, 76-team NCAA tournament. Of the three, what's the worst? What's the best? You two.
I would say the worst is the college basketball expansion. The second worst is the draft lottery. And then the least worst, I guess, is the college football expansion.
Landon?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I agree with that. I think my worst, based on actually what Brian said yesterday about penalizing teams who are actually bad in the NBA, the new tanking rule.
So I'd say that's worse. You'd flip those two.
Yeah, I'd flip those two.
Okay. The one I like the most is 24-team college football playoff. I'm not averse to that at all.
That's lowest.
I'm not as mad about the 76 as most are. I'm not wild about it. I didn't want to go full Bobby Knight, and he proposed seriously. Long before his career was over, even he was still coaching at Texas Tech. He wanted to go back to 32 teams. we're not going to do that.
No.
I wanted to eliminate Dayton. We're not going to do that. But in my top story, I'm going to get to why I'm okay by 76. The third and final one, the draft. When I say this, look, it's. I want to, and it's my duty to care. You know, the flip thing is, I don't care about that. Oh, that doesn't matter to me. Who cares? No, we have to care. We have to care about sports issues. The tank lottery system is the closest thing of I just almost can't care about it. I mean, just let it fall how it falls, and I'm not going to worry about that much. Now, I'm going to be interested in ping pong ball night a couple Sunday nights from now because of where the Grizzlies are. But it just doesn't move me like it like it has some. It's just a flatline issue to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that. And, you know, I've seen both sides of the draft lottery and kind of what people think about it. You know, some people think it's going to be great and it's going to fix everything. Some people think it's going to ruin everything. You know, I was listening to a podcast earlier today of some guys breaking it down, and I thought one of them, the way he laid it out, I thought was perfect. He kind of said something along the lines of, if you were just so, you know, kind of hell-bent on something has to be done about tanking, then you're happy about this. This ultimately, I think, can fix the tanking. But if you were just kind of, you know, there's not a big issue, and, you know, are kind of thinking about ways to just lay out a draft with the worst teams get better through the draft, which is kind of the way drafts are supposed to work, then I don't know if this fixes anything, or it kind of makes things worse. You know, like Landon said, and we talked about it yesterday, you know, the idea of penalizing the bottom three teams, I guess in theory, if you're just all out on teams are tanking and teams want to be bad, I guess that fixes it. But I really don't think it fixes anything, because I think that Jazz team that ruled everybody out and said everybody's going to be done for till the end of the season, they're either just going to delay that until they know we can't be that bad of the bottom three teams and we can't be better than this.
Great point.
Or they'll just kind of play the game every other night based on who they're playing. These guys are either going to be out, these guys are either going to play. I think teams are just going to see this and they're just going to kind of loophole their tank to where it will fit into this kind of flat odd system. I just
we're
going to
find
works.
The crack in the dam.
Absolutely.
Teams are. And your use of delay. This year, whether I'm right or not, let's use the date of everybody kind of kicked off tanking January 20th.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
Is that close
sure.
enough?
Yeah.
All this is going to do is kick it back to after the All-Star break.
Yeah. I mean, it's teams are going to be able to see that, you know, that because whether you like it or not, there are going to be bad teams out there. There are going to be teams that just are not good. You know, it's what life is. And so they're going to see, okay, that's the bottom that we cannot go lower than. And then that's the top of we don't want to be better than that, or we can't be better than that. And so they're just going to find a way where they're not as bad. They're not going to be good enough. And so I really don't think it really fixes anything. And like you said, you know, if we're just trying to throw, we've got to fix something, we've got to do something, then yeah, I would go back to just the worst team picks first. I do think there are some good things from this. I do kind of like a team can't draft number one overall in back-to-back years. You know, I do like that idea. You know, you've seen some other leagues that implement that type of rule. I know Major League Baseball has something similar to that with their draft. But, you know, I think this was Adam Silver that was too overwhelmed by all the pushback about tanking and just tried way too hard to do something to fix it. I think it's going to overcorrect the issue, and we're just going to see even more issues down the road.
And I think he acted in the name of, I have to do something.
Yes, I definitely think
and
he did
that. That's very Manfredian,
it
and
is.
That's not good.
No. And usually, you know, we sit here and we talk about, you know, Adam Silver, he'll come up with these ideas and you know, usually they work. Play-in, you know, has worked. Some of the other things have really worked.
In-season tournament.
I think
it's worked.
Yeah, it's been fun. And so, you know, I think we had, over the last couple of years, have kind of been sitting here of, hey, Adam Silver has done some really good things in terms of implementing things for the league. So I hope we're saying the same thing after a year or so of this, and maybe we're completely wrong, or at least me, maybe I'm completely wrong about this, but just looking at it on paper and kind of thinking about what it could look like over the next couple of years, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm really excited tomorrow when Keith Smith joins us. I know we'll talk with Rob Fisher later today, get his thoughts on it, but really, really interested on what some other people you know, that are really connected with the NBA and kind of in the day in, day out, like Rob, like Keith, what they really think about these changes.
I think a big difference for me, my observation of both of them running their leagues, it would when Manfred, and he usually does, stumble into a bad idea, he keeps digging.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Adam Silver keeps digging.
No.
I think he will change.
I think so. I don't think Adam Silver's a bad commissioner. I think he's a pretty good commissioner. I can't say that about Rob Manfred. I think
no.
he's an awful commissioner. So we'll see what it
you know,
ultimately
in a
does.
Year that I did not take the vow to not run down baseball.
You're pretty good.
I've done better without the vow than if I'd have taken it.
Well, bro, I think it's the
the pressure's off.
Well, not even that. I just think I think you know that next year is going to be a mess, and so I think you're trying to enjoy enjoy it as much as possible, and that's causing you not to to complain as much about the higher level management of Major League Baseball.
And here's an example. And I said we weren't going to talk about next year. We are talking about it. Right now, I've got six games up.
Okay.
I've got Seattle at Minnesota, mm-hmm. Yankees at Texas, Tampa Bay at Cleveland, Boston at Toronto, Miami at Dodgers, Cubs at San Diego. I have thoroughly enjoyed the day. Now, I'm not mm-hmm. watching. I'm not riveted by sure. by any of it, but it's there. Mm-hmm. I like that baseball is always there, the endlessness of mm-hmm. it, the box scores, the day in, day out, yeah. The thing that that most people don't like about it, I run to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be there next year.
Mm-mm. No, it's going to be weird. It's going to be very weird. So we're not going to worry about it right now. We're going to try to enjoy the season that we have.
I may love the portal next year more than I ever dreamed
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, I mean, you have something to pay attention to if you don't have baseball.
I want to get this in about the expansion of the tournament. Not for every league. I'm just going to talk about the league I know the most about. Standard contract in the SEC should be this right now going forward for every coach in the league. If you miss the tournament three straight years, you're fired, no payout.
Yeah, I don't mind that, especially with all the teams that we'll have involved. I mean,
if you miss it three straight years, you fill in whatever name you want to for the 16 SEC jobs, whatever name you want to fill in. You miss it three straight years, keep going, no payout.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing, and I haven't seen many people talk about it, but, you know, what this expanded playoffs is going to mean for coaching contracts and kind of how that's going to change. And it's
bonuses.
Sure. I mean, it's not just going to be the make the tournament.
Well, I made the tournament.
No. It's going to be, you know.
Boy, you know who's going to be the king of that.
Who's that?
G. Willikers Josh.
Well, yes. Josh loves the expanded tournament for sure, but it's definitely different, and we'll certainly talk about it a lot more. We'll talk about it some more later in today's show. But let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, we'll talk the NBA playoffs as we had three games last night, three more games tonight. We'll discuss what happened last night, start previewing these matchups tonight, including the Spurs, who won their first round series 4-1. They won it last night in Game 5 over the Trailblazers. 3:45, we'll talk some baseball. Like Brett mentioned, a lot of day baseball going on right now. So we'll talk about some things from last night, but a lot of the action today, later tonight, stories around Major League Baseball. We are officially in the midst of the season. 4 o'clock, John Gowen from Timber Trust. He'll join us. We'll talk golf. We'll make our weekly picks with John. Plenty to get to with him, and hopefully it's a better picking week for me as I had the goose egg last week.
So. The bagel in New Orleans.
Well, you know, I said it going in. I was not a fan. I don't like picking the team event. So
you don't have to worry about it. It won't be here next year either.
That's right. I'll be the first one to celebrate that leaving the schedule. But we'll do a lot of golf talk at.
And I won't have. And I think thankfully I was always wrong. That was always the tournament that I had predicted. We're having terrible alligator mauling patron player some tournament official. And we didn't. But did you see that big boy that crawled across the tee box on Sunday morning early?
No, I missed that.
It was the king. And he just strolled right across the tee box, and everybody yielded, and he went his merry way.
That is one thing. You got to yield when you see the big boy game.
But what if big boy hadn't have been big boy, and it was big mama, and she thought you were trying to harm little ones?
Yeah, it's a tradition, and not a great tradition every year, seeing those big old gators on the course.
He did. Yeah, I mean, just kind of came up out of nowhere. You could, a little bit like, excuse me, and went right out on the tee box.
Good Lord, yeah. No, so
no kidding. No kidding.
At least we won't have to worry about that anymore. Keep the gators away from everyone on the PGA Tour. We'll talk a lot of golf at 4 o'clock with John Goen. 4:30, we'll talk more about the NCAA tournament, the expansion, that news coming out yesterday. Not official yet, but the NCAA taking the final steps that they need to take to make it official. It sounds like some point in May, mid to late May, they will have the official announcement of the expansion. 4:45, we'll talk big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Rob Fisher, he'll join us from the Grizzlies Television Network. A lot to talk about, Rob. We'll talk some Grizzlies. We'll talk a lot of NBA playoffs, and we'll get his thoughts on the new proposed lottery idea from the commissioner, as all the owners, they will vote on that in the next couple of weeks. We'll see if that is official. I heard that it's going to kind of be like a trial run. Like they're going to give – if it does pass through, it's going to be kind of a 3-4 year thing. And then if they don't like it, they can change it. So
I like that. Don't keep digging.
I guess so. But, you know, I feel like that kind of opens up the floodgates for kind of some – you know, let's try to tinker with it here. Let's tinker with it there. Just – I don't know. It is definitely weird.
John Hollinger come up with a good idea.
Yes. It just feels like a lot of weird.
He's never had one.
Over the next – a couple of years with the draft. We'll talk a lot of that at 5 o'clock, 5:30. We'll talk about what's trending, and at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Moe's Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. It's the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo. It's going on right now through May 10th. Seven manufacturers are all fighting for your business in the battle of the brands. Hot tub starting at $34.99, with Swim Spa starting at just $16.99. If you mention this ad, you'll receive a free cover lift with that spa purchase. So head out there to Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We are Sports Time, live and local, and with you until 6 o'clock. No preemption today. We're with you until 6 o'clock, 3 hours. We want you to be with us at 901-360-8255. That's the Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line. All our guests will join us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255. He's Brian. I'm Brett. Our producer is Landon Schmidt. Hit us up at 901-360-8255. Always live and local from our Family Leisure Studios. And this hour every day brought to you by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. You can call them at 901-334-9673, but they invite you to stop by the only Lexus dealership in Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500, and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the safe luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day is the latest commitment for the Memphis Tigers. Josh Holloway announced his commitment earlier today after spending the last 2 days on a visit with Memphis. It was Memphis, West Virginia, and Missouri in his top three. And most recently, the visit with Memphis sealed the deal for him to be a Tiger. Originally from Memphis, played at St. George's before ending his career at Oak Hill Academy. After that, got his start in college at Samford, playing for Bucky McMillan 2 years, where he was used primarily off the bench. But in that second year, averaged 23 minutes per game in 33 games, made 11 starts for Samford, averaged 7.9 points, 2.7 rebounds, 2.7 assists, and 1.5 steals per game. When Bucky McMillan got the job at Texas A&M, he took a handful of players with him, including Josh Holloway. This season with Texas A&M, only 13.3 minutes, all off the bench, averaged 4.6 points, 1.7 rebounds, 1.8 assists, and 0.8 steals per game. This seems like a guy, 6'1", 178 pounds. He's the second point guard that Memphis has now added out of the transfer portal. I don't know what they view him as a player, but it feels like could be a really nice piece off the bench, kind of to that change of pace guy, the effort that he brings to the court. You saw that 1.5 steals per game the season before last at Samford. It feels like he can give really good energy on the defensive end, can do some really nice things as a playmaker, likes to attack the rim despite his 6'1" frame, can give you a little bit of rebounding as well, averaging about 3 rebounds per game at Samford. So I think a nice addition. This is now the 5th Tiger on next year's roster that is from the city of Memphis. He's now the 10th guy committed to the Tigers next season. So that means 5 spots available. And you got to imagine, when you look at this roster right now, the rest of these spots have to be for the Bigs. I'm sorry, 11th player on this roster for next season. So 4 spots available. Those have got to be Bigs. Those got to be the big man rebounding, shot blocking, rim protecting. They had a guy last week from North Alabama, Cornelius Williams, who can fill that role as a rebounder today, hosting a JUCO, top 15 JUCO player that is very much a rebounder, shot blocking. So this roster's starting to come together, but now you'll see Penny Hardaway and his staff kind of shift more to the front court with those Bigs.
Brian, my top story, this is our chance. This is an opportunity for Memphis, whatever it takes, from the University of Memphis, from the Grizzlies, from Convention and Visitors Bureau, from FedEx, from AutoZone, from a sports authority, if we still have one, from the city of Memphis to Shelby County to the Chamber of Commerce. Everybody pull together as one, like we have on some big occasions, and do this. There's going to be a second site other than Dayton. We need to be the host site of that. That will be 12 teams, 12 fan bases, 6 games over 2 days. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
So how many teams is that?
It's it would be
24 teams.
Yeah, 24 teams total, but it'd be 12 at both sides, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We need to be the host for that. Mm-hmm. This can get done. All the cool deal makers, all the whiz kids get together. Memphis needs to be unified and have this done. Marshal every force and be the other site permanently. Mm-hmm. Dayton in the Eastern time zone, Memphis Central time zone. I would imagine they're going to do Tuesday in one place. Do you think they'll do all in one day in one place?
I don't know. Nothing's obviously been finalized, so I've heard people say both. Some people say it's going to be kind of just a full-day thing on Tuesday, then Wednesday. Some people are saying it's going to be a 3-3 type thing where you get games both days. So okay. I really don't know what it's going to look like.
But it'll be all-day basketball somewhere. Dateline, yep. FedEx Forum, Memphis, Tennessee, hosted by the University of Memphis. We need to be that site.
Yeah, no, that would be really cool. I would love to see that happen.
Not top story of the day.
All right, Brett, I got a problem with all the reporting around Brendan Sorsby and this gambling story. Because today it was revealed on 3 reporting that sources who have reviewed the betting data told Pete Nakos that dating back to 2022, and putting a pause in that, let's all remember how this was first initially reported. A flurry of bets, just small amounts. You made it sound like this was just a regular average Joe, just hanging out with his buddies, just betting on things. Brendan Sorsby placed more than 10,000 wagers and at one point averaged 20 bets per day. Now that makes the story sound a lot different than how it was originally reported earlier this way. That is insane. I know, you know, you brought it up yesterday. We talked about, you know, how you would go to games and kind of bet on the individual pitches, which I don't think that's crazy. I'll be completely honest. I've gone to golf tournaments where I've followed group and have bet hole by hole. It's fine if you do that on kind of once every now and then. Sounds like this guy was doing it kind of every day, really consumed by it. And again, you know, we talked about those small dollar amounts. I gotta imagine with the NIL money he was making, his small dollar amounts and my small dollar amounts are probably very different. I don't expect him to just be placing $5, $10 bets on everything and that
being
small dollar.
We're gonna get the amounts.
Oh, we definitely will. A lot's gonna come out from this, and you know, we'll see what ultimately happens with him. But definitely,
I'm shocked how little privacy you have that they can somehow get all your information. Mm-hmm. I don't have an app. I have never bet one cent. Yes, I've done ads for it. I think it's fine if you want to. It's not for me. The last thing I want to do is, at this point in my life, is get in trouble with gambling, get in trouble with Ole Miss. I haven't done it. I'm not going to do it. But I don't know that I would want something I thought was private just out there for everybody to look at.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'll leave it with this. John Harden just texted us and said his gambling made my gambling look like a hobby. And if anybody listens to Happy Hour, you know how much John Harden likes the action.
Right, but I know both of you well. I don't think either one of you are consumed by it.
No, absolutely.
I know you both well. Now, I do chuckle when I walk in. You've got a Marshall 1 o'clock in the afternoon holiday tournament bet going.
But those might not always be betting on them. I just like some mid-major hoops.
That's true. My not top story, Detroit basketball. They face elimination tonight. Elimination. They're down 3-1. Orlando, Mickey Mouse Town, they can close it out tonight. Mm-hmm. Cleveland at home against Toronto, a 2-2 all-important game 5 series there. And in Hollywood, the Lakers can send Houston packing. The Rockets have won a lot of basketball the last few years from October to April. Mm-hmm. And done a lot in April and May. Yeah. Late April and May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big one tonight for Detroit.
This is as must-win as Detroit's had in a long time.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be it's going to be a big story tonight if Orlando closes it out. But we'll see what happens. But that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. When we return, we'll talk more about Detroit and Orlando and all the other action from the NBA playoffs. Don't go anywhere. We're talking the NBA next on Sports Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time, 6 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we've got to talk the NBA. Last night, three really interesting games. We talked about how kind of intriguing they were going to be leading up to them last night. We had the 76ers and Celtics, Hawks, Knicks, Trailblazers, and Spurs. Let's talk first about that Hawks-Knicks game from last night. Tied 2-2. We talked so much yesterday about how important last night's game was. Whoever won obviously has the advantage and has the edge moving forward. And it was all Knicks last night. 126-97. New York was locked in from the opening tip. And really, when you're going to get that type of performance from Jalen Brunson, it's going to be hard for a lot of teams to slow that down.
39 points, extending his own franchise record for 40-point playoff games. I don't know what that really means. Jalen Brunson scored 39 points, nearly extending his own franchise record. Nearly. And I am so tired of every time he has one of those big games, greatest Nick ever. Then when he loses, can't win with a small player.
Yep. It's
too can't win at all with a small player.
Yep, and it's got to be one or the other. It's
which
crazy.
One is it? He is a great player, but he is it's neither.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. But he is not the greatest Nick ever.
No, nowhere close. But you know, being in that market,
arguably, is he better than Carmelo Anthony? I say no.
I would say no.
As a Knick, Knick.
I love Melo. I would say
me too.
I'd say no.
50-win team in 2013.
Yeah,
Carmelo with that.
That's exactly right.
With Mike Woodson as head coach.
Yikes! Yeah, but I mean, you know, he is a really good player. I think everyone can agree that Jalen Brunson is a really, really good player. And when he's giving you games like that, and you can get other guys to pitch in like they did last night. You know, I mean, it's going to be hard to slow this Knicks team down.
It is, and that gives them the advantage. Atlanta's going to towel wave and get all up for game six, but back to the Garden for a game seven, or they win it by then.
Mm-hmm.
And this should free up the Knicks, shouldn't they? They play a little less, I won't say tight, but not real loose so far.
No, it hadn't.
Guarded.
Yeah, I mean, you see how the series started where, it was, you got the win in game one, but then it was back-to-back losses. And again, because of that market, because of who they are, it became the biggest headline of what happens if the Knicks get eliminated in the first round by the Atlanta Hawks. And so, yeah, if they can come back, rally back, and win the series, whether it is in game six or game seven, I think, you feel a lot better than that. Now, obviously, with New York.
Save face.
Sure, it does, but at the same time, we're still talking about New York. No matter what happens, when they lose, it's going to be a headline, it's going to be a big story, and there are going to be a lot of hot takes around it.
Look, it's one thing in the next round to lose to the Boston Celtics.
Sure.
To lose in the opening round as the three seed against the Hawks, then why fire Thibodeau, all the whys and finger pointing would start. I don't think the Knicks Jalen Brunson, he is Batman, isn't he?
Yeah, for their team, absolutely.
Who's their Robin? Do they have one?
That's a really good question.
Most would say KAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's who you turn to. I'm not a huge Cat fan. I'm kind of biased in that sense.
Uh-huh.
I don't really love him in terms of team basketball, but he's a good player, and so I guess I would say he's the Robin. But yeah, I mean they've got a lot of pieces, and I'd probably say he's the Robin in that.
Good friend of mine knows basketball. He texts me. He said the great John Starks may be better Nick than Brunson. Mm. He may have been former Memphis rocker John Starks, no less, who got the whole team kicked out of Halifax, Nova Scotia to never come back. Great story.
I'm going to have to hear that story. That is insane. But yeah, no, he definitely could be. And so, yeah, I mean, it's completely different story if it's an exit against Boston or an exit against the Hawks. Now, I do think there's still going to be a lot of fiery takes and questions about this team, especially if Boston makes it look kind of easy in the second round. But I do think getting out of the first round saves face on a lot of things, makes things look better. I just don't think this Knicks team is anywhere near a go-for-it team right now. So, you know, we'll see if they make any moves or any changes in the offseason, especially after what they did last year. I mean, being so fast to fire their head coach after being in the East Conference Finals, you got to imagine they'll make some more moves this offseason.
I got caught up in it, picked them to go to the finals to lose to Denver. Going to miss on both of those badly. But both still potentially could be out in the first round.
Yeah, and we'll see obviously what happens with Nuggets and Timberwolves. You know, they're looking better with all those injuries for Minnesota. But
that's the only reason it's looking better.
Yeah, it's exactly
but
right.
You take it as you get it.
Sure. I mean, yeah, when you're missing a guy like Ant out there, you know, that certainly makes a difference. But looking at those other two games from last night, 76ers, they get another win over Boston, making that series 3-2 as it will
not
head
just
back
any win,
to
on the parquet.
That's right. Yeah. No, that's exactly right.
And I want to ask Keith this tomorrow. Be sure and ask him. I'm afraid of what this can put in the Celtics' head going forward, that if on the parquet at TD, if it's not automatic, can you really win it all?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, and last night you get, you know, Joel Embiid back, and he looks like the MVP caliber player that he is with 33 points and, you know, added 8 assists to that. So, you know, he looked good, but, you know, still looked like he's nowhere near 100%. So, you know, I think getting him back was a huge spark.
It was all Philly
team. Yeah, it was. There's no question about it. I mean, you know, you look at that starting lineup and what they were able to produce, and then you get a really nice performance from Quentin Grimes. But, you know, how much of that was, hey, Joel Embiid's back, it's such a big spark for the 76ers and such a big change for the Celtics. How much of it was that, and how much of it was, you know, maybe a bigger issue for Boston?
And I felt for our friends at Channel 5 last night, you know, trying to carry the games, but also trying to to help people with the weather. And this is back-to-back Aprils that I've needed them.
Yeah, no.
Because it was bad last night.
Yeah, no, I don't remember what I was. I guess it must have been the basketball that I was watching. It flipped over to it, and yeah, I saw it was right over you at the time, and I was like, "Oh man,
I mean center cut."
All right, yeah, no, it you got all of it. So yeah, you've kind of been in that path the last
6 inches of rain in about 45 minutes.
Wow, that is no joke. That is all getting all the rain there.
I was out there flagging down Noah.
No, jeez. I mean,
he just kept on going by.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's only two of each animal, right? Room for you. But tonight, 3 games. Magic Pistons get us started. 6
got an interesting question about that. If it happened again, I heard this on late night crazy radio last night.
Okay.
If we had another look, Noah's Ark was real.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
If it happened again. And that few people get on the boat. How long would it take to repopulate the world?
That's a great question. I don't know. A long time. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's what I spent doing last night.
You were listening to crazy radio last night.
That's why I'm tired of conspiracy.
I was wondering because you came in strong with that earlier, but that makes a lot more sense. All the dots are connecting now for me.
Last game, Spurs eliminate the Trailblazers. Do we know that Tiago Splitter will not return?
I mean, all do we know it categorically? I mean, everything's kind of pointing in that direction. You know, I saw
because I got odds today on the next Portland
please.
Coach.
Yes, I would love to hear these.
I don't know that I saved the email. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. But it's probably not going to be a huge name with the amount of money that they're throwing around up there in Portland. It's they're working on.
Somebody will take it.
No, somebody will take it. But man, it is a weird situation. But yeah,
the coaching fraternity is telling people don't do this. Don't undercut us.
Mm-mm. No, I mean it's going to be a really.
It's
really
why on all these hometown discounts, that Players Association, they're telling those members, and they're having other players call and go, Hometown discount cuts into the next deal for everybody.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. And so it's just a really weird situation up there. But now that they're eliminated, they'll start trying to figure out who that next head coach will be. Doesn't look like it will be Tiago Splitter, but obviously the interim, his name will be a factor in there. Three games tonight, though. 6 o'clock on Prime Video, Magic Pistons. Orlando, the opportunity to close out that series on the road in Detroit tonight. 6:30 on ESPN, Raptors and Cavs. That series tied 2 apiece tonight in Cleveland. And then the late-night game, Rockets and Lakers. The Lakers, they look to close out that series at home. They're a 4.5-point favorite tonight at home. I don't believe Kevin Durant will be playing again for the Rockets, so maybe an opportunity here for Los Angeles.
It's going to be my big number of the day concerning Kevin Durant. I mean, this was going to be the playoffs where in playoff point totals, he was going to zoom past an elite group and can't play.
He just hadn't been out there. This injury has really affected him and has really affected the Rockets. So should be 3 fun games tonight. Maybe we will have a pair of teams advancing to the next round. But we need to get to another break. And when we return, we'll talk some Major League Baseball. We've got a lot of day action. Some more games coming up later tonight. We'll discuss it all next on Sports Time.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
A lot of Major League Baseball this afternoon. As being a Wednesday, we've got a lot of day action. A couple of finals already in the books. White Sox with a 3-2 win over the Angels. They needed extra innings in that game. Went to 10. White Sox ultimately walked it off. A handful of games that are in action right now. One of them, though, that's really interesting. The Marlins and the Dodgers. Right now, the Marlins up 2-1. The Marlins have led in all 3 of the games so far this series. They got the win last night, lost the game the night before. This Dodger team already this season has 16 comeback wins. So they're able to they're going down early, but because of all that power they have, they're finding ways to come back and find ways to win.
Okay, I'm in the elevator on Sunday morning, younger guys, and I could hear them before we got on it talking about greatest players of all time. Then they engaged me. They said, who's the greatest player of all time? Without blinking, I said, Babe Ruth. They said, who's second best? I said, Shohei Ohtani.
I don't hate it. I mean, what he's doing is remarkable. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You know, what he brings to the table both on the mound and at bat. I mean,
Who else has done it?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that.
And this is starting to be prolonged.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really good. I mean, we talked about it about a week or so ago. You know, from everything that's been reported, the Dodgers, I mean, gave him an opportunity to maybe not just be a bat for them, but be a bat and then just kind of pitch whenever we kind of need you to pitch. We'll kind of have you on call. And he said, no, I'm going to be a kind of full-time pitcher. I want to go out there and have the full workload. And he's managed it extremely well.
Now, baseball gave him a little bit of a special carve-out on how they can use him.
Sure.
But why not when you have this big a star?
Well, and it's such a, you know, unique type of thing that, I mean, it's hard to, you know, what are you going to do? It's, I mean, you know, I guess it is special for him, but, you know, I mean, what are you supposed to do? You know, I mean, he's a full-time pitcher and a full-time bat for them. I didn't mind giving them that extra spot because
will we see more guys like him try to do both?
Yeah, you know, I think you're seeing it more and more. You know, there have always kind of been guys that have done both, you know, through high school.
Caglione did it, Florida.
Yeah, you know, but it usually gets kind of
party ends.
Yeah, it ends somewhere in the minors. So yeah, I mean, I think
a lot of times ends in T-ball.
Sure, but you know,
you're a right fielder,
right?
Well, no, maybe I can pitch too.
Sure.
Nope, you're a right fielder.
Yeah,
and we sure do it with sports. You know, you're baseball. I want to play all of them. Nope, can't do that.
Well, now it's really hard with these sports with how kind of year round they are. You know, it's hard to really play multiple sports. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's opening the door for, you know, people to be more open to it. You know, even, you know, like you said, kind of at those lower levels in, you know, middle school and high school, where maybe those, you know, coaches and people are kind of trying to pinpoint you as one or the other. I think, you know, maybe it's letting people become more open to the idea and giving more people an opportunity.
Yeah, but he's that special, and he's gonna create more trying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he definitely will. You know, and I think people see that, and they want to go out there and do it. So, you know, he got the start last night for the Dodgers. 5 hits, 2 runs, only one of those runs, an earned run, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts for him. He did get the loss, though. I mentioned the Marlins winning that game last night. So now 1-1 on the season through about 5 starts, you know, pretty good ERA so far, 0.60 ERA through 5 games. So that's pretty elite right there.
Cleveland in handshake mode, just went final 3-1 over Tampa Bay. Both pretty good teams, well managed teams. You know, Kevin Cash is the senior manager across both leagues.
Is that right?
In seniority.
Interesting.
Hired in 2014 by the Rays. That's number one across baseball, number one in the American League. Dave Roberts, number one in the National League, hired the next year in 2015.
Wow, interesting. I did not know that. That is news to me. But
Ollie Marmol was and still is. I mean, he's third in seniority in the National League. Carlos Mendoza now fourth, and that is teetering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Craig Counsell fifth with the Cubs. He hadn't been with the Cubs that long. Pat Murphy sixth. American League. Kevin Cash 1. Aaron Boone, famous middle name, 2. A.J. Hinch with Detroit 3. Mm-hmm. Mark Kotze with homeless A's is 4.
Wow. Wow.
In the AL,
it's hard to believe, but hey,
really is.
That kind of shows you how short some of these leashes are on
almost becoming how hockey treats the head coach.
Yeah, it really is. But here's some other scores out there. Seattle up 5-3 right now. They scored 3 in the top of the 9th inning, so they're looking to close out that game and get a win over the Twins. Rangers up 3-0 over the Yankees. Blue Jays up 7-1 over the Red Sox. I mentioned Marlins, Dodgers, and as we were talking about them being down to the Marlins, they have scored a run to make that 2-2, and then Cubs up 1-0 over the Padres. So a lot of action going on right now. A handful of games later tonight.
Mariners just closed out.
All right, so a win for Seattle.
Shirt tails out, handshakes out.
There you go. Come from behind victory for them. That's what they needed, as it's been a slow start for Seattle.
Oh, my Mariner friend, state of Washington friends, left St. Louis and went to the Twin Cities for the Twin Series.
Make it a whole road trip. That would be really
they
cool.
Are nice people.
Yeah, no, good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad they're enjoying, even in a rough start to the season type of year. They're having fun. But
good luck in the postseason.
Yeah, well, hope to see you there. Yeah. That's your go-to. But we need to wrap up this first hour, get to a break, and when we return, we're switching gears. Got to talk some golf, make our picks as well. John Goen from Timber Trust, he joins us next.